Thanks for reading for us, Anna. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to church. Also, welcome to those who are joining us online as well. It's great to see you all here today. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors of this church. I'm going to be speaking from that passage as well as giving us a broad introduction to the book of Proverbs. This is a new series that we're starting. We're doing this for the next 5 weeks or so. We are going to talk about today what wisdom is and how we should be reading wisdom, because the way that we read Proverbs is slightly different from the way that we read the other books of the Bible as well. After this, there will be a bit of a question time too, as usual. So if you have any questions or comments, please kind of save those for reflection time afterwards. But for now, I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask for God's help as we head into his word. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, you say in James that if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. And so, Lord, we pray now that you may make us wise. Let us learn your ways. Let us learn how to live in your world. Keep us from foolishness and the consequences of our reckless actions. And we pray that we may fear you, knowing that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It seems to me that there are really only two ways that you can learn something. Take, for example, learning that you should wear a helmet when riding your bike, or when using a knife in the kitchen, you should always cut away from you, or learning that there are certain mushrooms that are poisonous. You can either learn those things making the mistake yourself. And I think we all do that a bit. You know, there's a certain kind of extent to which we don't want other people to tell us what to do. We reckon we can handle it. And so we go off and our lives become a cautionary tale to others. This is what I've heard known as paying the dumb tax. It's learning from your own mistakes. On the other hand, though, the less painful way to learn is by learning from the mistakes of others, learning from the people who have made those mistakes so that you don't make them yourself, especially those who are willing to pass on the mistakes that they've made so that people don't suffer like they did. That is actually what Proverbs is all about. Proverbs is wisdom from God that comes through the life experience of some very wise men and women that has been passed down through the generations to us so that we can learn without having to pay the dumb tax. And so for the next few weeks, what we'll be doing is we'll be looking at what Proverbs has to say on some very important topics, topics like work, wealth, speech, relationships. We're going through all those and doing a survey of the Proverbs on each of those topics. But today what we're doing is we're doing an introduction to the book of Proverbs. We're going to have a look at how we should see Proverbs and why we should read it. So firstly, Proverbs, it's one of the wisdom books of the Bible. It's alongside Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs, and Job. Those are the other wisdom books of the Bible too. They're not like other Bible books. When you read them, you don't get a picture of the story of Israel or the history of God's people. You don't see the life of Jesus at all in this wisdom. They don't teach a lot of doctrine also. Most of the characters in these books as well, they're not even Jews. The wisdom that they give as well is less theological and it's more practical too. It's about the world that we are in. And it's wisdom that has been proven true by experience. I think that's a very big difference from the rest of the books of the Bible. And it covers topics, like we heard before, like suffering, romance, work, wealth, how you should conduct yourself in the world. Who Proverbs is from? Well, we see that Proverbs is from Solomon and others. Verses 1 to 7, the verses that Anna read for us. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth, that the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so Proverbs is from King Solomon, verse 1. He wrote most of it, and he was a very wise man. In the Bible, there was a time when God came to Solomon in a dream and asked that whatever Solomon would ask for, God would give him. And Solomon, out of all the things in the world, instead of asking for things like money or health or revenge, He asked for wisdom, and God gave that to him, and now he is passing on his wisdom to us. There are other bits in Proverbs as well, kind of shorter bits that are written by other people, but most of Proverbs comes from Solomon. The passage that we just read, it also shows us who Proverbs is for as well. Firstly, Proverbs is for the unwise. It says in verse 4, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Proverbs is for people who know that they need wisdom. A lot of the first half of Proverbs especially is written as parental advice to a young person as they're about to approach adulthood. You know, it's that risky time of your life where you're no longer protected. You no longer have that safety net for you when you make mistakes. And the mistakes that you make might stay with you forever. Proverbs is written for people like those so that they can learn from the mistakes of others rather than make them themselves. And I think that particular verse and that particular idea, I think, should have some resonance with a lot of us. Because I think a lot of us, because of our culture, because of our upbringing, we haven't received a lot of good wisdom in our lives. Maybe our parents did not give us as much instruction as we would like, or maybe some of us had parents who really weren't really pretty much there at all. Maybe also, even if you had parents who were there, though, maybe you had the other extreme too. You know, there's a kind of parent who presents themselves as the authority on everything. You know, they know more medicine than the doctor. They know more law than the lawyer. They know more than the teacher. They know more about their house than the electrician and the plumber. And in that kind of family, what you get is not really wisdom. You get a whole lot of bad wisdom. Because it's not really wisdom at that point. It's just opinion or conjecture or speculation or what my friend said. And they know just as little as I do. I think a lot of us have grown up like that without a lot of good wisdom. And so we need wisdom. And I think we need it even more because we are in a world where we get all this different conflicting advice about things. We hear different voices on how we should vote, where we should invest our money, how we should parent, what we should think, even what we should feel. And navigating all that is confusing and frustrating and exhausting. You know, we need to be able to cut through all that. We need someone to be able to tell us the truths that are not just culture, not just politeness. And I think one of people's big problems is that they cannot separate wisdom from culture. And a lot of the wisdom people give, or their so-called wisdom, really just reflects what they value and what is good for them rather than what is good for everyone. But God cuts through that in Proverbs. He shows us the truths, the wisdom that are timeless, universal, and important. And so if you stick to these, the wisdom that God reveals in Proverbs, you won't be lost when the culture changes, when the world flips on you. And so we need wisdom from God because of this kind of world that we're in. And so Proverbs is a book for those who know they are unwise, who know that they need wisdom. But then look at verse 5 as well. It says, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. Proverbs is not just for the unwise, it's also for the wise. Because one of the things about being wise is that in your wisdom, you know that you can always do with more wisdom. I'm always encouraged by the Christians in this church who are like twice my age. Now that I say that, though, it's kind of actually not very flattering to say that they're twice my age. Oh, I'm pretty old now. Maybe it's better to say at some point in time they were twice my age. They're older Christians. But it's really encouraging to know that they continue to learn new things from God's word. They're still growing in their character. You know, that's the kind of person I want to be when I grow up, a person who hopefully is wise, but who continues to grow in wisdom, because Proverbs is for those kind of people as well. It's for unwise people who need wisdom and for wise people who need wisdom. And I hope that's all of us. And that's what we're going to be doing as we head into Proverbs for the next month or so. But as we do so, it's important to sort out how to read Proverbs, because like I've been saying, Proverbs is not really your typical biblical book. And so here is a bit of the framework that we're going to go through as we read through Proverbs. First thing, Proverbs are not promises, they are principles. Okay? Proverbs are not guarantees 100% of the time. They are ideals to aspire to. This is really important to understand, because for every proverb there is, you are always going to find an exception. But the exception does not disprove the proverb. And so an example of this would be kind of Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." This is a verse that is used rightly by Christians as an encouragement for parents to pass on their Christian faith and their Christian values to their kids. Because if they get what is right in childhood, you can see it helping to shape their adulthood. But you can see also the problems with taking a verse like this as a promise, as a guarantee, can't you? Most of us know people who were brought up Christian, but who don't believe in it anymore. There are numerous testimonies about children of Christian pastors who do not share the faith of their parents, so it doesn't always happen. But it'd be wrong, just kind of thinking about that, though, to throw the baby out with the bathwater and say that, okay, just because it doesn't always happen, there's no point in trying to train our children at all. No, it is still true that generally children do take on the values that their parents have trained them in. That kind of training is not usually pointless, and that's the idea that Proverbs is trying to get us to take on, that it's better for parents not to be lazy in parenting, but to be active in training their children in the things that we want them to learn and not give up on them. Another example would be Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5. It says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty." You can get the general idea from that. You know, if you work hard, you pay attention to details, it will lead to success in life. If you do the opposite, if you're slack, you overlook things, you just kind of want to get things over the line, you are going to come out worse. Again, I'm sure that you can see the exceptions. There are many people who work hard, who are diligent in their work, but who still don't make it. And the flip side of that as well, there are people who are rich and successful despite the fact that they are lazy and foolish. They do not work. But again, I still feel like it's hard to argue against the idea that, look, if a person works diligently, they will be better off than if they don't. That hard work actually does make a difference. Just because there are exceptions doesn't make the proverb any less true. Everyone knows about flight MH17 and what happened to it. But it's not right to say that just because MH17 crashed, no one should ever get on a plane. You know, it's just the way that journalism works, isn't it? The old journalism proverb is, you never heard about a plane that did not crash. Our news is skewed towards the things that promote fear and worry, but we haven't heard about MH1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and so on and so on. You know, it's still sound to say that, in general, travelling by plane is safe. Proverbs are the same. Proverbs are not promises. They are principles. Second thing to keep in mind when reading Proverbs is that Proverbs is not about rules. It's about relationship. There's an opinion about Proverbs that because the book of Proverbs doesn't mention God a lot, and because the Proverbs seem like something anyone could do, whether you're Christian or not, that this book is somehow less about our relationship with God. That's actually not true. Proverbs is just as much about God as the rest of the books of the Bible. And sure, you know, you take a proverb at random, like the ones that we've just gone through before, and it's hard to see how it's actually about God, but the whole framework of Proverbs is the view that God is the source of all wisdom. He made the world in his wisdom, and if you walk in wisdom, you are walking in step with God. The passage we read has that idea. If you look at chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 2, verse 6 as well, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." If you want to be wise, it starts with fearing God. The most sensible thing that you can do in the world is respect God as the maker and sustainer of the world. If you start with that, the rest of wisdom is going to follow. The relationship with God is more important than following the rules. Because having a relationship with God is the best and wisest thing you can do with your life. On the flip side as well, if you do not respect God, if you do not fear the Lord, well, it does not matter how many rules you follow as you live your life, even if they are good rules. You know, you can save your money wisely, you can parent your children wisely, whatever it is, but you're still missing the point, because Proverbs is not just trying to get people to live with good rules. It's trying to get people to live in good relationship with God. Okay, Proverbs is not a book of ethics. It's not just commands. It's about how to live in a way that honors God and walks in step with him. Proverbs is not about rules. It's about relationship. And then finally, as we read Proverbs, it's important to understand that Proverbs are not random. They are real. What I mean by this is that God's wisdom isn't arbitrary. There's an old kind of question, philosophical question that people ask. Is it good because God commands it, or does God command it because it is good? How arbitrary are the commands of God? Well, Proverbs actually reveals to us that God doesn't randomly call us just to do whatever he feels like, and then just say that the only reason why we should follow God is because I said so. It's actually bigger than that. Proverbs shows us what the world is like, and it shows us that God has made the whole universe, and he has baked into the universe a certain kind of right way of living, so that living in sync with God and living wisely with God is also living in sync with this creation that he has made as well. And the opposite is true, that if you live unwisely, it's kind of like you're going against the grain of the way that God has made this world. Proverbs says this the clearest in chapter 8. It's a bit hard to understand, but in chapter 8, wisdom is speaking, kind of the personification of wisdom. And so the eyes here are wisdom speaking. And it says in verses 27 to 31, when he, that's God, established the heavens, I was there, wisdom was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the foundations of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. See, wisdom is real. It's built into our world, and as we walk in wisdom, we are living not just in good relationship with God, but also in good relationship with his world. It's kind of like Proverbs is the instruction manual for our world. A lot of machines and tools and devices you get come with a manual. Often they will have the words, do not use as a blank. I read an instruction manual for a wrench that said, do not use as a hammer. And you kind of think, who would think of using it as a hammer? You open up kind of a model plane or a model car and it says, this is not a toy. To which you say, look, of course it's a toy. It's just a toy for grown-ups, not for kids. But, you know, you could use that wrench as a hammer and you could give that model car to your baby. They could play with it. It could be used in that way. But there's a wrongness to it, isn't there? It's not quite right. It doesn't really fit with how you're meant to use it. We heard a lot about congruence at church camp. There's a lack of congruence there. And that's what it's like to live without the wisdom of God. We're not kind of living the way that we should live, to live in harmony with the things around us, with the world around us. And so these wise words that God gives us, they don't just come because God feels like it. And we don't do them just because God said so, against our better judgment. No, we are doing them because they are the best way to live in this world, to live in harmony with this world. There is a reality to wisdom, because Proverbs are not random. They are real. So these are some things to keep in mind when reading the book of Proverbs. And maybe one thing that we could all be doing throughout this series is to read through the book of Proverbs. Just get through as much of it as you can. And if you do, what I reckon is that you will probably find some proverbs that really resonate with you. The advice that I've been given from kind of specialists, scholars in the field, is that Proverbs actually doesn't respond well to being read like the other books of the Bible. If you're doing a Bible reading plan that gets you to read 3 to 4 chapters a day, that might not be the best way to read Proverbs. People say that it might actually be better just to take one proverb and reflect deeply on it. What is it saying to you? In what situations does this actually apply, and in what situations doesn't it apply? How does this help you to know God better? How does it help you to walk with God? How can you put this into practice in your life? What are the right and wrong ways to put into practice in your life? And so just to finish off, I thought I'd share 3 proverbs that really hit me when I was reading the book of Proverbs in my own time. First one was Proverbs 12:11. Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. I read this, I found it was really, really helpful as far as direction in life is concerned, because my thought life has quite a lot of worthless pursuits in it. This proverb teaches us that there is a place for rest, for play, for enjoying God's creation, but it is foolish to follow those things, to base your whole life on that, to make those the ambition and focus of your life. To a certain extent, to a large extent in the Bible, we are made to do good work. And there is a dedication and commitment to our work that we are called to have that we don't have. To things that don't help the world, don't help others, that we do just for our own pleasure. And perhaps the overall trajectory of our lives should be away from worthlessness and towards worthy work. Second proverb that really struck me was Proverbs chapter 14, verse 10. The heart knows its own bitterness, and no stranger shares its joy. I read this after a particularly emotional time in my life when I felt pretty alone and felt like no one understood me and felt that there was something wrong with that. And this proverb was God saying to me, well, yeah, you know, to a certain extent, the only one who can fully understand what you are feeling is you. And that was quite freeing for me, actually. You know, it meant that when people did not understand what I was going through, I didn't have to feel resentful of them. And also when other people are going through tough times, I didn't have to feel bad that I did not have exactly the same emotions as they did. Now, just to be clear, this is not saying that people will never understand you. Okay, it's just saying that they won't fully understand you. And I think this proverb really helps to have realistic expectations of how you are going to feel around others, whether you are the one going through suffering or whether they are the one going through suffering. And then the last one for me, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. Now, I read this and I think, look, I get it. You know, people need their introvert time. Sometimes it's good to be alone, and I'm certainly more on that side of the spectrum. But this proverb is God saying to me, you don't want to take that to the extreme. Because being alone is being unaccountable. There are all sorts of foolish and selfish things that people get up to when they are alone. And there is benefit in getting out there, getting with people. And I've certainly found that I do work better when there are others around me. And so those are some that have kind of really stuck with me. But I had to read kind of a whole lot of Proverbs to find them. It's kind of like you're digging through the hills looking for gold. And that's actually kind of what we'll be doing as we go through Proverbs. We'll be kind of digging through Proverbs and finding the things that really hit us. And so if you're a person who is on the search for wisdom, and I think we all are, maybe consider doing that too. You know, delve into Proverbs and see the wisdom that God has in store for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us a book like Proverbs. Thank you for giving us a book that is proven true by experience, a book that does relate to our everyday experience of life and deal with these topics that are very close to our hearts and very relevant in the world. Lord, we pray that as we go through Proverbs over the next few weeks, that we may become wiser and wiser, that we may be people who increase in learning and wisdom and understanding. Lord, we pray that as we do so, that we may walk closer with you and fear you more and more, respect you more, knowing that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.